second loss we have found clients experience due to terrorist acts is the loss of an orderly world. Have you discovered this with clients you've treated? Myself and my colleagues find with clients who have either been a direct or indirect victim of terrorism have a heightened sense of wrongdoing because their feelings of the loss of an orderly world. Here's an example of a paraphrase of what one therapist said to such a client who believed justice will prevail prior to the Twin Towers attacks. The therapist stated, "Your confusion seems to be because your just world philosophy of life cannot explain what happened in New York. You used to think that if you were careful, honest, and good, you could avoid disaster. But the loss of your brother in the Twin Towers attack taught you that all your best efforts could not prevent the worst from happening. You saw others who were also innocent die and be unfairly injured. So, while you would like to believe that the world is orderly and that good is rewarded and evil is punished, you've had experiences that contradict this basic belief of yours. Because you feel your brother was punished precisely because he was trying to be a good and competent person by going to work that day. So now it's even harder for you to hold to your just world philosophy of life. Certainly the loss of an orderly world occurred after the attacks on the Twin Towers and the anthrax incidences that followed. Several of my anxiety disordered clients reported a fear of leaving their homes. Thus their orderly world, so to speak, was rocked to its very core. What did you experience regarding an exacerbation of symptoms in your anxiety disordered clients? Number three. Let's now look at another loss due to terrorism. In addition to the loss of a just world, that is the loss of a positive self-image. As you know, one of the most profound losses many trauma survivors experience is the loss of a positive self-image. This loss often affects their ability to excel at work and to relate to others. For, as so often happens, no matter how much someone else may assure them that they are valuable and worthy of love, if they've been deeply traumatized, they have trouble believing it. A colleague treated a client who survived a fire in which his roommate was badly burned. The client stated, "I feel almost as if I've been exiled from my circle of friends for committing an unforgivable crime, or as if I were carrying a deadly communicable disease. A part of me feels bad, like I'm a bad person, scarred, diseased, or otherwise unacceptable. I should have been harmed in the fire as well." Did you treat a client following the Twin Towers attacks who suffered from loss of positive self-image due to his survival when others did not? My colleagues and I have found survivors of trauma might even feel ugly as Dr. Frankenstein's monster, regardless of how attractive they may be. It is an established fact that women with histories of sexual abuse, as you know, often feel ugly. They believe they look ugly on the outside because they feel ugly on the inside, or because ugly things have happened to them. Thus, post-traumatic stress reactions, such as depression and other after effects of trauma, can cause the loss of self-image and self-esteem. After the attacks on the Twin Towers, I feel as a nation, we suffered from a loss of positive self-image. That being, terrorism cannot happen within our national borders. That idea has been forever lost. And the idea we are immune from attack has forever changed our positive self-image as a nation. Loss number four due to terrorist attacks is the loss of trust. Trauma is, as you know, about loss. One of the first casualties of having been traumatized is the capacity to trust, especially if your client's trauma truly involved human evil or error, as in the case of terrorism. Trauma survivors not only lose trust in some of the basic premises that keep them functioning, such as I mentioned previously, the assumption of personal invulnerability and that the world is a just and fair place, but they can also lose trust in people, including themselves. Have you found this with some of your clients? They may be asking to trust or not to trust is the question trauma survivors ask most frequently. I want to trust, but I know better. This is usually the reply. Can your clients trust going to the mailbox, checking the mail, and not contracting some form of a disease planted by a terrorist? Do you have a client that questions trusting his or her chances of going on an air trip, arriving, and returning safely? There is another side to this coin. Have you found the tendency of clients to automatically and completely trust others after witnessing such a terrorist attack as September 11th or other traumas? For example, have you observed some combat veterans instantaneously trusting another combat veteran without taking time to find out if they are indeed reliable? While in combat, a soldier could safely assume that the members of his unit would treat him like family. Back in civilian life, the code of your blood is my blood, as you know, may no longer operate. Trusting another soldier may have saved a soldier's life on the front lines. However, trusting all fellow soldiers implicitly might cause problems back home under non-traumatic situations. This trusting behavior was exhibited by New Yorkers immediately following the September 11th attack. Story after story was told of a more open and loving attitude in the city. For trauma survivors, the fear of imminent danger often persists in post-traumatic relationships that are not dangerous. A pervasive sense of doom, as you know, is part of post-traumatic stress disorder and is related to depression, another common reaction to trauma. While expecting the worst makes perfect sense given the trauma survivor's experiences, have you found friends and family members of your client labeling them perhaps as cynical, paranoid, or too negative, and find that their non-trusting attitude is oppressive and burdensome? So ask yourself, for your clients that are affected by terrorist trauma, what type of support or lack of support are they receiving from family members? Question 2. What part of post-traumatic stress disorder is related to depression?